It's gone, you know.
The things that we want to memorialize.
Yeah, they're like so
Swisher little mini figures.
And so you can see how just a small idea for how to share a skill with someone grows into something bigger. And that's kind of, I know that that's in the back of your mind too. But talk about some of the classes that you already had last year.
So last year we had, well, we did, I personally did a tarot class. We had a 2-hour acting class that was super fun. And then I had a business management class, kind of like an accounting class. We had another big business management, like how to create your resume and how to interact with like CEOs and interact in a corporate sense, how to kind of like have a good, was like something about that, about like being your best business self in business. And then there was guitar. There were multiple dance classes of all kinds of ways. There was meditation classes, yoga classes. There was a visualization class. There was a fitness class, like where someone brought in weights and taught people how to use weights and stuff like that. Fixing bikes. There was a bike fixing person who brought in bikes to fix, and you could bring in your own bike and fix it. And this year there can be so many more types of classes because we have 2 kitchens. So there can be all kinds of kitchen cooking classes, and like we have the herbal tincture already coming in. I do right now have like a storytelling class. Oh, last year we had a neurotic poetry class that was off the chain, super fun, and they were a riot the whole time. And what's so cool about being in New Earth School in person, you know, 8 classes at a time in a building, is that you are in your class, but you can just hear all the other classes, kind of just the buzz and the rumble and the like giggles and the, you can just kind of feel that there's so much going on in this building. So many people, like so many lights going off, you know, turning on, and so many connections being made. And then last year with the erotic poetry class, they ended up taking their whole class to an open mic and then reading their erotic poetry at an open mic together. So they like took it out of the New Earth School. And yeah, that's the thing, exactly that. It's like, it's impossible to even really predict what's to come from these kinds of connections and experiences, collaborations. It's just like a go, you know, it's the go of how to get together. And also kind of like bridge space of third space, we don't really interact with each other. Like I'm in the ecstatic dance community, a big, amazing community, lots of interaction, lots of community, and a few other types of communities. But we don't really interact with each other on this kind of like mental and spiritual level. We're really like engaging, you know, consciously like that. It's a lot more physical and body and laying around and hanging out and dancing and, you know, like that kind of thing and socializing. But this is like very intentional space where we really are creating something exciting. So I love to create that corner for the world, for our communities.
If you just tuned in, this is Keeping It Real. I'm Lisa Loving. Our guest is Fern Capella Allen of the New Earth School PDX in Southeast Portland. She's crowdsourcing knowledge as a mutual aid project. And yeah, we're pre-recording this. We're pre-recording it on our separate digital devices. And there's dogs barking in the background. There's my phone going off because this is real life with real people. It is not
MSNBC.
Haha. Anyway, I had to come out and say that.
Thank you. I can let them in if you want.
It's okay. It's okay. And Fern just put her cat in front of the camera, which is awesome. I want to take a moment now and go in a direction I didn't know that I was going to go in with you, actually, for this show. I feel freaked out because of the change in presidential administration that is taking place this week. And it seems like the change in our everyday life that's going to be happening starting now, probably already started, but starting now. One of the things that concerns me the most is what I'm personally going to do if the federal government starts rounding people up that I care about and sending them. I've got relatives, elderly relatives, who are now going to theoretically watch their prescription drug costs go up, right? It's really specific things that impact our daily life. And you had mentioned, again, I'm weirding out now. I'm going to go to the woo place. In the millennium, the last millennium, the year 2000, I had friends who were talking about the year of Aquarius, you know, it's the age of Aquarius. It was a musical from 1968, which was the dawning of the age of Aquarius. It actually really was, wildly, And the idea with the Age of Aquarius, especially my friend Patrice used to tell me about it. She used to send me articles 25 years ago about this. Wow. That said, the whole world is going to start changing in 2020. You got to watch out for 2020. And I would laugh and I would go put on my reading glasses from the dollar store and giggle and la-di-da-di-da. And the idea is that this previous millennium was the Piscean age, right? If I've got it correctly. But the Age of Aquarius, it's like this was our chance. The people who care about love and light, I'm putting it like that, and not hating people. This was our chance to try to create the society that we always knew that we needed, wanted, and deserved. And if we did not take this opportunity to do that, the opportunity will go away. And I wanted, like, okay, in my official questions for you for this interview, it said, you know, what are the stakes? What's happening right now? You know, what if you never did this? And so now I'm going to hand you the invisible theoretical microphone and just say, talk about, Fern, this is a crucial moment in humanity. What's going on, in your opinion, and how does that fit in with your idea of mutual aid?
I love that. What an amazing question and an amazing preface. And I feel you, and I feel the concern and the weight of the world that a lot of people have right now. But I actually feel underneath that so much excitement. And I think if people know me, they know that that's really where I stand and where I live, is in the excitement of this place and this time. I feel that most of us chose as beings to come in to be active and engaged at this time. And I'm almost like laying golden eggs, you know, that's my job, is I'm here. And at the dawning, at the birthing, it's really like we're at the birth, we're midwives of this beautiful age. And we're kind of here, like whispering these beautiful stories into the ear of this amazing baby that's coming, you know, and these stories will imprint for a long, long time. And so it's a great honor. It's an incredible honor to be of age and of, you know, loving mind and body, to be at this time, at the dawning, the birthing of the Age of Aquarius. And so I guess with that, I would say what's so important is that there is no future. There is really only right now. And it is so, especially like using the concept of the baby, you know, the baby, the future is the baby that we birth together right now, that we are in the labor of right this moment. And so we have to be really tender and precious with the future, starting with how we speak about the future and what we intend for the future, you know? So we putting a lot of, like, no matter what you see that's happening around you, putting any kind of concern or, like, you know, real, like, freaked out fear about the future kind of accelerates the fear that could potentially happen in the future. So it's really important, I think, to like, basically engage with what our plans are. Like, you know, don't worry about like what other people are doing, because there's a lot of old power. You said that we're in the switching of the ages between the Piscean age and the Aquarian age, and there's a lot of powers that were, that are definitely dying off, but like going to be, you know, grasping to the last second. And so we're going to see a lot of that at this time, and we're going to have to be strong enough to hold both in both hands, you know, and walk away from this as we're moving towards this other thing that we know in our hearts is the age of Aquarius, is the age of our own enlightenment. And one thing that I think, I'm actually, again, abundance is a human right. I'm creating this book around our original abundance, and also as we move into the age of technology, how we are going to basically, technology is bringing back in our abundant age as well. We can't really be scared of any, even technology. We're not going to move away from AI. We're not going to move away. We're moving into new areas of existence that were intended for our greatest expression of humanity. And we can't like just quell all these terrifying fires. We're actually going to, you know, get bigger with all of this stuff. So I find only like thrilling excitement in what's coming. And I know that this is one small little, you know, dandelion seed out into the ether, like, which is New Earth School PDX. And it's part of the bigger plan. It's part of everyone's heart kind of song, you know, that we're putting out together, that says like, the future is beautiful and you're welcome in, baby, you know, like you're welcome to be birthed. We love you and we're excited for your existence, which is the kind of the way that we will interact together is in the future. And it's so exciting. And honestly, what we do is start saying, actually, we're doing it right now. Like, we're talking about Bridge Space existing right now. New Earth School has already had a season, you know, it's coming in for a second season. What we can start doing is acknowledging what's already happening and how beautiful what's already happening is, and just do more of that, you know, instead of like be scared of what's coming at the same time.
We have Fern Capella Allen on the line of the New Earth School PDX in Southeast Portland. She's crowdsourcing knowledge as a mutual aid project coming up in March. There's going to be a whole battery of classes taught in person at the Bridge Space in inner Southeast Portland. Right now, she's looking around for people who want to teach some kind of class. Teach a class, not with drop-down bubbles and things like that, but a class in something practical. A class that, you know, you who are listening to me right now really wants to share with people. And so that's what we're looking at today. And then in a couple of months, we'll be looking at the school itself when it sets up. So, Fern, what? No, I want to ask, who do you serve with this project?
Yeah, I would say I serve the local community. I serve our local environment. Really, what matters to me is, are my neighbors, are the people that are around me. That's all I can really affect in real life, you know, are my dogs and my grandkids and just the world that is right around me. That's what is real to me. And so that's why I feel this, that's very much the whole think globally, act locally thing, you know? So I fully serve the local Portland scene, for sure. Anybody and everybody that wants to be a part of it.
And we already talked about the ripple effects of that, actually. When I think about the local community, and I'm talking on KBOO Community Radio, I know that that local community extends all throughout what we call Cascadia, the Cascadia bioregion. So we can support our next door neighbors, but the people in the Columbia Gorge are also our neighbors. I love thinking about that and the ways that we are connected. So what kinds of classes are you dreaming of for this project?
Yeah. So, well, one, I love that we have the two kitchens. So I think that what's really exciting is we can do cooking classes. We can do like the herbal tincture classes, kombucha classes. We can do any, you know, CBD creating classes. We can do anything like that you need a kitchen for. Really exciting. I love the movement space. It's beautiful and giant. So we could do maybe 4 to 8 classes in movement. I love practical knowledge. I think that's really important, you know. But honestly, I don't know. I don't know what people know and what people want to know. Like, that's what's kind of exciting, is it's all outside of my experience. Like, there's probably, you know, what I would love to know is how to make a website. It would be actually really cool to go to a class and be there for 6 weeks and then come out with a website, you know, that I built with the hands-on information of somebody who kind of walked me through that process. That would help a lot. And so there's probably things that, like, you know, everybody kind of knows and everybody wants to know. And I would love to see those things come together with each other.
I want to see more classes on home repair.
Yes.
And how to patch up holes in drywall. And I love the idea of teaching more writing classes. I think that a lot of people are afraid of the idea of writing, but it's just critical analysis, honestly, which I think a lot of people could really use right now. But I also would like to see a class in cake baking and cake decorating. Come on, that's the thing that you could do. But more than anything, I want to be able to repair stuff that's in my space. We just actually passed a right to repair act in the state of Oregon, where I think by 2025, Apple Computers has to comply with the Oregon law that says that anyone should have the right to repair their own phone or their own computer, which will actually require them to build those items differently. Because I think in some of these items, like, for example, parts of it are glued down to the inside. You know, it's interesting to me when I just think about this particular show. I'm a volunteer at KBOO Community Radio, and I do this show, Keeping It Real with Lisa Loving. That is my volunteer gig. And I started doing this because I felt so depressed about what I was reading in the news, like, and knowing that there's good people doing good things everywhere you look. I just wanted to find something that would tell me who the good people were. And I ended up with this show and like putting it out myself. And when I think sometimes about a project like this, I can think of loads of people who do other things that I've had on the air, like the Right to Repair. It's a movement. It's a global movement. But there's a Portland hub of information. There's other Right to Repair hubs in other parts of the state. And literally, they have events where people just, they'll bring their broken fan and there'll be somebody there who fixes fans and he'll fix it right in front of you. Or she. It's pretty cool. Like, learning how to repair things is big to me. But I also would love to hear more people talk about how they organize movements and projects. Because what I like about talking with you, Fern, is that, you know, what you're inventing is huge. It's huge. And it impacts hundreds of people. You don't have an office, you know, besides, I'm going to guess, your kitchen table or your office table there, your duck chair. But what I love is where I live in, like I said, Cascadia, so many people do so much with so little. And I think that goes to the slogan on your T-shirt.
Yes. So to know.
So I just want to, just to make sure that the seeds of your project about the New Earth School PX, I just want people who are listening to this to themselves think about it, or tell other people that they know, you know, people in your family, tell your own neighbors. How should someone visualize Fern doing this and engaging with you? Somebody who's listening to us right now is like, I want to teach people how to hook up a light switch. Like, so how would someone approach you? And what is it like, 6 weeks of a class? That seems like a big commitment.
I love that. Thank you so much, Lisa. Yes, I mean, this is what's so exciting about this is that we're all experts at something, you know? Like, most adults have really spent their time and energy just for fun, learning and enjoying and doing something that they could give back in surplus, really. That's the whole thing. Abundance is a human right, is that they can basically, they do it way more than they need to do it for themselves. They have that knowledge, you know. There's like we're also kind of bringing back like the elder experience of continuing knowledge through your community. So it's not just stopping at you. So you spent 10 years learning Spanish, you know, because you were gonna travel South America for 6 months. So now you know Spanish and you know about South America. Like, we want to know Spanish in South America. So that's just one example. There's so many things that people just love to do. You make chocolates, you know, you just love to make chocolates or you're great at baking cupcakes. Like, we want to know how to make chocolates or bake cupcakes. Like, you know, so we trust you infinitely right away that you know how to do something, and you know it well enough to share it with your community. There's no qualification system. There's nothing except the fact that you love it and you know it and you want to share it. That's like the first thing, is that it begins with amazing trust. Honestly, it begins with the trust that we know you're already great at what you do, great at what you love, and you're excited about it enough to share it. So there's that. Just step up and enjoy the process of basically bringing people into what you love. One thing that's cool and about this, that, you know, there's gonna be so many kind of offshoots of why this is so exciting, but one thing is that it's an opportunity. Say you are, you know, a grief counselor, you know, let's just say, and you could teach people for 6 weeks about grief counseling, you know, because we'd be curious and interested in that. But also, you're a grief counselor, and when people need to counseling for grief, you're top of mind for them at that point, you know? So there's something about like this being a notoriety thing. Like, this is a platform for you to basically also find your future clients and your future collaborators, your future community, where now we think of you and we think of grief counseling, let's just say, you know? So that's and also it's an opportunity for people to create their TED Talks and their, you know, 6 week programs that they may want to do online, or, you know, this is just sort of a platform and a structure to level up the next stage of what you have to share and what you're excited about doing. And it's kind of like infinite potential for where that could then.
So the other thing is a 6-week class, like how do we visualize that? If somebody is out there listening and they like to, they are a knitter or a crocheter or they do basket weaving. I'm so interested in that now. I'm with this woman who does a whole channel, a whole social media channel about basket weaving. And somebody said, where did you learn? Her 2-year-old taught her because her 2-year-old did it in preschool and brought it home. And then they did it. But if someone's going to prepare or visualize a 6-week class, so then they need to maybe think about 6 containers that they could pour their knowledge in. Like how do you organize your approach to a 6-week class?
Yeah, I think really seeing it also as maybe what the student may get out of it at the end of 6 weeks. So having some kind of like deliverable product or deliverable, you know, concept at the end of the 6 weeks. What I see is a kind of like, what do you want your student to walk away with at the end of the 6 weeks? What kind of deliverable do you want them to have? Do you want them to have, like, say, basket weaving? Do you want them to have woven their own basket by the end of the 6 weeks, you know? Do you want them to sort of, like, bake a great little batch of cupcakes by the end of the 6 weeks? Maybe, you know, decorate a cake at the end of the 6 weeks? What is it that you kind of want to see and say that they did? If it's knowledge, you know, what sort of, like, information do you really want to know that they've left with at the end of this 6 weeks? And then I would just break that up into 6 weeks over just an hour at a time. So it's really 6 hours because it's 1 hour for every week. So it's not actually that much time. 6 hours is really not too much time to like get something. And so even if you say you get some part of the concept or the knowledge, you could come back and continue the series in the summer series. So I wouldn't put too much pressure on yourself. I would just kind of say like, take a shot at it, you know, take a flight into it, you know, just try to figure it out and see what you enjoy doing and start sharing it. And I think it's going to in some ways shape itself as you start to create that storyline.
So I'm just going to stay with this for a minute because I want to see people that have never thought about going outside the house and engaging in mutual aid. I just want to see someone who's never thought of that before, listening to us right now and thinking, wait, actually, I could do that. And hanging out with people in a third space is what I want to do. Probably, you know, there's still some people who probably are glad to be alone because there's plenty of us that are afraid of the outside world and for totally concrete reasons. But I meet even more people anymore who don't want to be alone anymore. They want to be with other people and they're looking for their people. So probably the very beginning, if you're thinking of participating with the New Earth School PDX, would be to visualize the third space that you're inhabiting and visualize it 6 times, 6 different third spaces, right? Because definitely there's going to be part of that that's involved in just meeting people, talking to people. So, and now that leads me to say you want to do a class, you're excited about it. How do you get people to come?
Yeah, great idea. And great question. I'm sorry. But I also wanted to say that in this particular session, this particular series, we're actually going to have an hour in the middle. So it starts from 4. So the class is from 4 to 5, 5 to 6. And then from 6 to 7 is going to be a community hour where there may be, you know, some snacks, some getting together, some connecting, free energy space where you just collaborate, talk about what you've learned. And then 7 to 8 and then 8 to 9, those are the classes again. So there's actually a little extra hour pushed in the middle for people to really engage with each other because I felt that there was a part of that was a desire that was sort of born out of the last series, out of last spring semester was, yeah, people love to share their information and, you know, get each other's numbers and connect and just kind of be. And so this also creates a space for that, which is pretty exciting. And I think that with getting students, getting teachers is really important to me right now because that sort of shapes the whole experience. And then getting the students is going to be a call from the actual people creating the workshops or the series. They have their own networks, you know, they're going to be like, hey, I am, you know, you've always loved my baking. Well, thou come and, you know, bake it yourself or enjoy this experience with me. So there's that definitely, I've seen that work really well. I put my own effort and energy into just like blasting in. A lot of people want to be students, but not teachers. And that's what's really cool is that, I mean, for $20 a night, you have 4 full classes and you have an hour of hanging out and, you know, eating some potluck snacks and, you know, connecting with people. So it's a pretty great deal, honestly, considering like the cost of going out and doing stuff, you know. So I would say that it's a really exciting opportunity for people to, at low risk, you know, like get to do something very enlightening, exciting. So I found a lot more students than teachers, but that's okay, because I really just want 32 teachers and we want a lot more students.
We are talking with Fern Capella Allen of the New Earth School PDX in Southeast Portland. We're talking about mutual aid. We're talking about third spaces. We're talking about coming together and meeting in real life. And I so many of the people this week, since it's the first week of the new presidential administration, I'm surrounded by people who are worried. They feel isolated. They want to support other people, or they want to be supported by other people, and they're not sure why. But one thing that everyone in my networks want is not to give more money to the corporate sector. Like, and I know that this is not really exactly what you're about, but I just have to put it to you, Fern. Like, what you're talking about is something that has nothing to do with billionaires, right?
Right.
Can you just talk about that a little bit? Why would that be important?
Yeah, I would say that it's kind of outside of money, you know, so that's the whole abundance is a human right thing. I'm actually creating an app called Plentiful Earth, which is also really exciting. So there's a lot of huge stuff coming up that we'll probably have talks about in the future, you know. But basically, it's again about the surplus minded, community minded world, where it's outside of socialism, outside of capitalism, it's outside of all those things. Like, Plentiful Earth is basically you put in, it's not pound for pound, it's not transactional, it's not even about barter system. It's just you put in what you do and people ask for what they need. And then with technology, like I said, there's a mapping system and those things get put together. So there's the only prioritization is urgency. There's no like, oh, you got two of those yesterday and you don't get any more today. There's no capping on it. It's really like what you need as you need it. And there's sort of like a trust fall that can happen with there being plenty. So if you imagine like a potato farmer who is a plumber and he's also good at piano lessons. So he, you know, puts out piano lessons. Maybe he does that at New Earth School. He can go and fix your toilets. He also has a ton of potatoes. And so he just puts all those things up there. And then he says, I also would like this and could use this. And then those things just start mapping to each other. And there's no real like, there's no tit for tat. There's no counting, you know, beans kind of thing. And that takes us completely out of the system. So the old system, and that's why we can't really worry too much about them and what they're up to, because they're going to be up to it whether we're puff or not. We just kind of have to start creating a world that we can exist and thrive in, honestly. And that's why the whole abundance is a human right thing is that it's about thriving. We're not, your right is not just to survive, your right is to thrive, you know? And so we are allowed to like really find that kind of sustenance and support within our own local communities without looking to other people to make it happen for us. Because a lot of our fear around them is that they're taking something from us. But what we also could look at is all that we actually have and all that we have to give and all that we have to, you know, receive in that giving. So there's just like a new way of turning the page completely. And that sort of leaves them behind, you know. It's like if they want to be part of it, come on in, you know what I mean? But like you said, we don't necessarily always want to be alone. And that's actually a really lonely place to be a billionaire, sort of like separated out from everyone else. And I think that eventually this kind of like connection, community and inclusion will actually bring in even that kind of a personality, you know, eventually, because it's like we all want to be part of something greater. And like, this is great. So,
Fern, I forgot to ask you where you even got the idea for this whole project in the first place. Where did it come from?
Yeah, well, I think we talked about I think I'm born to create, to bring in this abundance surplus kind of concept. So there's a lot of branches of that. So that's like one thing I'm, as a being, I'm just sort of like here in the Aquarian age to drop in you know, these kind of pieces of knowledge. But two, I was a big part of actually the organization of the free school in early 2000s as a little baby anarchist in early Portland days, you know. And so that's where I got it, and it just sat as a percolator. And then I started working at the UCC, and there was a space. And so right when there was a space, I was like, oh, I'm an organizer at a space. I'm going to make this happen now, because it's been sort of like this little dream of mine. And then even when I got kicked out of that space, it still happened. And now we have a new space. So yeah, it's just kind of been a dream that needed a place.
Just before, because we're starting to run out of show, can you just tell a story from the little baby anarchist days? I'm not saying that you're a baby or ever was. Well, we were all a baby at one point. But I just remember so much about 25 years ago, the things that were happening, the things that Portland used to do. You know, we would call that old Portland because we were anarchists, actually, and anti-fascists the whole time. But can you talk a little bit about those formative days for you? Like, who was doing what that you recall?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it kind of was sparked by the 9/11, you know, situation and going to war. I mean, that was such a big, like, shock to the system of Americans that we were suddenly at war. And we hadn't been at war for a long time, at least, like, in that kind of... Now we've been in perpetual war ever since. And a lot of people who were sensitive at the time kind of understood the gravity and the implications of the war that we were beginning to wage that would never end, you know? And so there was a big, like, community uprising that happened here in Portland at the time. I'm so lucky I got to be here. I literally moved here in August of 2001 from New York. And so all of a sudden I'm here in September of 2001, and then that happens, and then everyone shows up for it. And I was probably like 22 years old. So one of the things we first started to do was the political organizing, and it was so wonderful. And I'm going to just shout out someone who she was a tree sitter, and she passed away. She fell out of a tree. Her name was Warhound. But this is a perfect example of, like, old Portland. And I'm so glad I get to share this about her, because she left. Speaking of, I mean, it's full circle, because I'm kind of talking about people that were gone so long ago that we can bring back into this, you know, today. But yeah, Warhound was such a special person, and she was such a, like, an emblem of old Portland. She was only 22 or 23 when she passed away. But before that, she was part of this, you know, uprising that we had going on, the collection, the community organization. And there was this big meeting we had downtown, and everyone's trying to, like, find their little committees and their, you know, experiences and stuff. And I had a toddler son. And so I was with my toddler son, and I'm, like, you know, single mom with my son, and I'm taking him outside and bringing him inside and taking him out. And she had no kids, but she came outside. She saw that I was by myself outside and not a part of this organization, this organizing that was happening. And she came outside and she's like, "Can I hold your son for you so you can be a part of this?" And it was like, it was just so moving, because she saw me, you know. And that's, like, kind of the original, like, the old Portland community was saying, like, I see you, and I see your value, and I see what you can contribute. Even though you may be overlooked, you know, like, you're busy, you're doing this, like, let me take some of that off of your plate so you can be a part of this, you know. And it was such a special, like, gift that she gave me, because I did, like, hand her off to him and went inside and got busy talking to people and using my light, which was important and valuable, you know, at the time. But I was distracted. So yeah, so shout out to Warhound. I know she's, you know, been drawn in by this conversation, so she's probably right here hanging with us. And shout out to those old days. They were really formative, like you said, and we are bringing a lot of that back in these new spaces and these new community building experiences.
And again, we're on the phone with Fern Capella Allen of the New Earth School PDX. Okay, one last time. I want to spend a few minutes going over what you're asking people to do now. So start again.
Yes. So it's New Earth School PDX. We have a spring semester coming up starting March 25th, going through April 29th. It's every single Tuesday. It's 4 hours a Tuesday from 4 to 9 p.m. There's an hour community break in the middle. And I'm looking for teachers of anything. Anything you feel qualified to teach, we believe you, and we're excited to learn from you.
And we have two kitchens. We have a movement space. We have a bike kind of fix-it area, garage. There's just so many cool spaces to bring in your knowledge and share with us. And I'm looking for teachers at this moment,
actually.
And describe the space one more time. Bridge space. Describe it.
Bridge space is a 10,000 square foot space. It's kind of like a giant, there's a warehouse, but there's also a big dance area. There's multiple rooms. There's two kitchens. And it's created by, it's a third space. So it's not a retail space. It's not a church. It's not a home. It's an other space where people can really get together and build new solutions and build new communities and new friendships.
All right. And so then when the classes show up in March, tell us one more time, how do those work?
Yeah. So when the classes show up in March, if you're a teacher, you teach for free and you can take any classes for free. So you teach one class, you get three or more classes for free. And then if you're a student, it's $5 a class. So if you show up for, you know, on a Tuesday, it's $20 for the night.
All right. And so the whole idea really is to attract people to an in real life space to hang out together and to teach each other things and to build community. If you're a teacher, you can build community around your big idea or your skill. Or if you're one of the many people that I hear from all the time who are sick and tired of commercial spaces, they're tired of commercial retail transactions, people that are tired of getting information from a screen, right? Or something that they're having to pay money for. This is a little bit of money, but it's not that much money, and it goes not to the corporate sector or the war machine, right? And so this is definitely, if for people who are sitting at home and they're tired of sitting at home and they're tired of not having a computer so that they can be interactive, this is a perfect space for somebody like that.
Yes. And we're always already excited to get to know you and get to know what you love. And we want to learn from you.
All right. Are there any other activities that are going to be taking place there? There's the center, the middle hour of those Tuesday sessions is basically about community and it's about meeting each other. But are you thinking that there might be any other activities like, I don't know, parades? I don't know. Are you thinking of what comes next for this project?
Yes, definitely. I think, it's going to be 6 weeks on, 6 weeks off. And I think building it at Bridge Space, we are going to see, I'm open to the infinite possibilities that are going to be birthed from this collaboration with New Earth School and PD and the Bridge Space. So we'll see what kind of where this brings us into. We could have like a 4-day, you know, symposium. We could do so many cool things with this kind of collaboration. Right now we're going to sort of unearth, you know, all of the awesome leaders and teachers and, you know, communicators that we are looking for. And then we're going to kind of see where it goes from there. I want to like visionary the project, but I also really want to step back and like see how it kind of goes off in many different directions.
And you know, before I let you go, I've been really emotional this week in ways that I didn't realize I could, because I am totally worried that people that I care about are going to be hurt by this new political leadership, which isn't, I'm not going to say it's so different from the old political leadership, but it is fundamentally different. And it reinforces a certain kind of political and economic system that does not support everyone. And one of the things that made Portland Little Beirut in the first place, Little Beirut is actually what the first George Bush president called Portland, because we had so many anti-war demonstrations. Anytime him or any of his buddies showed up here, there would be a throwdown around the Hilton Hotel, whatever. And so that would be around the year 2000. But these, you know, it's projects like this one, like the New Earth School PDX, that that's part of what made Portland the way it is. And that's what I love about this project. It's so grassrooty, and it's sure to spark future collaborations and conversations and projects and programs among people, just like you said with Whorehound, like you don't even know. But you go to a thing like this, you commit to going to it, you go to it for a couple of sessions, and you've already met people that you're probably never going to forget.
True. Such a beautiful way to say that. Yes.
Oh my gosh,
dreams.
So, all right. So, before we go now, Fern Capella Allen, you actually do a lot of things. We haven't touched on the ecstatic dancing. We haven't touched on all of it. But how can people support your work?
Thank you. Yeah, I think, you know, coming out and supporting this would be a great beginning. You're right. I do a lot of different things. But what I'm best at is just being a grandma and being a dog mom and a cat mom and just supporting my community in the best ways that I can. I am working on a book now called Abundance is a Human Right, and I'm going to be coming out with an app called Plentiful Earth. So just sort of get those percolating in your mind, because this is a big movement that I'm, you know, sort of launching over time.
All right. And before I ring the bell to go out of this show, I'm also hearing a lot of conversation about people who don't want to be on Twitter anymore. They don't want to be on Facebook anymore. They don't know about TikTok. People who feel as if their participation in Instagram and these different platforms is some kind of a sellout. And the thing that fascinates me about it, though, is that I'm wondering if we use these tools for positive things, if it will melt down the matrix. That's my big idea about it. Like, it's like that. It's like on Star Trek, that one episode where, you know, Harry Maude, and he was with all these robots, and, you know, Captain Kirk and Spock had to get away from them. And they came up with a little thing that melted down the whole system. And part of me is wondering if shoveling positivity onto these platforms is the thing that melts down the matrix. So I'm going to say the best way to find out about the New Earth School PDX is on Instagram. I go to New Earth School PDX, and I'm going to be watching to see if the matrix melts down, Fern.
And you can also email me at newearthschoolpdx@gmail.com also, if you don't want to go on anything. So everything is New Earth School PDX. So newearthschoolpdx@gmail.com. There's a group on Facebook, New Earth School PDX. There's Instagram, New Earth School PDX. And I have a website that will be coming eventually once I learn from this series how to make a website, called New Earth School PDX as well.
And that is it for our show. Special thanks to KBOO Program Director Asia Hawthorne for making this all possible. You're listening to Keeping It Real with Lisa Loving on KBOO Portland. You can make a contribution to support this kind of programming at kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to this number, 44321. KBOO Community Radio is here, and we're queer, and get used to it. I'm just saying that in the week of the Donald Trump inauguration. You can get involved at KBOO by emailing volunteer@kboo.org. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned. And the dog can say tsun tsun.
The dog said bye.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio,
holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU, Community Radio's open